Welcome back to The Conversation. I'm Lynn Waters, sitting in this week with my good friend, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Lynn. We're having a good time, aren't we?
I am happy to be here.
I've been enjoying this. The remote islands to the north and west of Hawaii and the ocean that surrounds them offer some stunning examples of nature's abundance in a vast, relatively unpopulated corner of the earth. If only that were the whole story. The area is also home to the infamous Pacific Garbage Patch, where plastic bags, fishnets, and industrial chemicals we discard collect in an ugly mass. It collects on the beaches of Tern Island, where migratory seabirds also gather, and that's why a new Environmental Protection Agency study of the island, 550 miles to the northwest, is especially valuable. Jared Blumenfeld has been the regional administrator for the EPA Pacific Southwest region since 2009. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Lynn. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Jared, what can we learn from this latest information? Does it build on what we already know? Are there some new data coming in?
So sitting here in Honolulu, it seems a long, long way away to the French frigate shoals. But this island, Tern Island, was identified actually by an environmental group, Center for Biological Diversity, asked us, EPA, to do under Superfund, which is used to clean up the worst of the worst sites, can we do an assessment to determine what's happening here? And as you mentioned, it's home to really very rare endangered species, the Hawaiian green sea turtle. 95% of all of them left in the world are in French frigate shoals in Tern Island. And the Hawaiian monk seal, of which there's only a few thousand left, the most endangered marine mammal in the world, also is there. So we did two things. One, we looked at, is there a problem that needs to be cleaned up? And secondly, this question that you asked, which is, how do plastics, very small plastics, gather the toxins, especially things like PCBs, and move them up the food chain into monk seals? And is that part of the problem of why monk seals are not surviving at the moment?
Very likely that it would be, right?
We don't know. It's very far away. We've got all kinds of great offer from help. The Army National Guard here in Hawaii said, we'll do anything we can. We'll bring our equipment. We'll do this as a training. What we found out through this study, and it was a very exhaustive study, really is the magnitude of the problem. The Navy was there. The Coast Guard was there up until 1979, and they left a lot of things, batteries, all kinds of contaminants like PCBs that shouldn't be on an island in a pristine area of the world. So this is a very special part of Hawaii, but it's also the convergence of all the ocean currents. So unfortunately, it attracts marine mammals and seabirds. It also attracts a lot of plastics.
And it really should be one of the world's pristine areas. But in a way, the fact that it is remote and so unpopulated makes it possible for us to kind of detach from the impact of throwing away those plastic bags, yeah?
It does, and at the same time, if it is polluted, it really speaks volumes about the rest of the planet. So we want to do our best with our partner, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, to think about what are the next steps? How can we take care of this special place? And unfortunately, with sea level rise, many of the parts of the French frigate shoals are expected to go underwater. This is one of the few that will remain. And so it's even more important as a sanctuary for all these species that rely on it.
What's an approximate timeline for the sea level rise to make that change? 30 years?
I think people are saying between 50 and 100 years, but that's really a blink of an eye in the terms of evolution and yeah, thinking about these animals.
In geologic time, it's right, racing along.
Yes, it is. It's happening quickly. And it really requires us to double up and really focus as much attention as we can on this special part of the world. And people that come to Hawaii probably never get the chance to go here, or this is exactly halfway between Hawaii and Midway. It's kind of quarter way. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to go there, but many, many endangered species do. It has beautiful coral that a whole ecosystem is reliant upon, and it's very damaged from years and years of pollution, and now we're starting to see this link between plastics. It's incredible. If you take a piece of plastic and measure how much pollution is on it, and then you put it in the ocean, literally those toxins go from miles and miles away to that piece of plastic. It's like a magnet in the ocean for toxins. And then they're so small that animals think that they're things that they eat. They mimic all the kinds of life forms in the ocean. And so they bioaccumulate, and then we find in monk seals that they have very high levels of PCB.
In the post-war years when plastics were being rapidly introduced and the world of science pretty much was all the way behind them, new miracle materials that are going to allow us to do all kinds of things, there wasn't much attention to those long-term consequences, was there?
No. I think that's true of many things, from lead to asbestos to PCBs. We developed them, and we didn't really understand their long-term consequences, DDT in eggshells. We do now have that knowledge. And
Are we now acting on that knowledge, just generally?
Slowly but surely.
But you know what I'm saying. That has there been that change of consciousness, really, in the world of scientific research?
Later on this afternoon, I'm talking to Kim Johnson, and she's got this great group of kids. At the kids' level, they're starting to be conscious of it.
Yeah.
And they ask the question, why aren't we doing more to help solve these problems?
In a way, that's really a ray of hope, isn't it? Because they're going to be expecting that as they grow into voting age. They're going to really define things.
I have a 13 and a 15-year-old, and they ask me to stop talking about all the environmental horrors that I see every day. They're like, Dad, it's just too depressing. So what this really offers is a ray of hope. That's what I think people need to see, that if they do the hard work, we can turn this around and turn this place that has been despoiled back into a sanctuary.
In a way, that it's too depressing state of mind. I mean, that's pervasive, because just when you contemplate the size of the so-called garbage patch,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's beyond what most people could imagine, and yet none of us have seen it.
It's true. I mean, even today, I was just across the street getting my breakfast, and I asked them where I can recycle the can, even though you get 5 cents, and they said, oh, just throw it away. So we all can do our bit to think that little teeny step, and that's what I think. These problems are so big that people get overwhelmed, and then they stop acting. So we need to show them that the little things that you can do every single day can make a world of difference.
In a way, is it helpful to focus on a relatively, you know, in an isolated, a sample area like Tern Island?
No, that's a great point, Chris. So originally the group asked us to do the whole Northwest Hawaiian Islands, which was just much too big for us to be able to handle, and logistically too complicated to study. So little bits that we can focus on, people can understand how they can help. People want to help. That's the one thing that you see anywhere you go. If you show them a problem that can be solved, they'll say, we're in, tell us how we can help.
Trouble is they have to see it, and the fact that so few have seen what's happening there, that has an effect too, doesn't it?
It doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, I think, you know, we're very good at seeing things, and I spoke to one of the artists that's coming on next. You know, people can visualize and understand that there's pristine places that they're never going to go, that they want to keep pristine even if they never do go there. Yeah. I think it's true of the rainforest and Antarctica, and those are places I've never been, but I want to know that they stay pristine, and Tern Island is one of those that unfortunately needs our help now.
It really feels as if that change of consciousness might well be happening in time.
Yeah, and many people think this is the epicenter, Hawaii. People think, you know, and I think every time I come here, I'm shocked by, you're very close to nature. People come here for a lifestyle that involves being outdoors and close to the ocean and the mountains. And so hopefully we can tap into that and get Tern Island cleaned up.
I think the energy's there. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Lynn.
Jared Blumenfeld has been the regional administrator for the EPA Pacific Southwest region since 2009. And you can learn more about his work at hpr2.org.